The Senate will please come to order, and the clerk will please call the roll.
Atkinson, Bates, Bonamici, Boquist, Burdick, Carter, Devlin, Dingfelder, Ferrioli, George, Girard, Haas, Johnson, Cruz, Metzger, Munns Anderson, Monroe, Morissette, Morse, Nelson, Brzezinski, Rosenbaum, Schrader, Starr, Telfer, Ferger, Walker, Whitsett, Winters, President Courtney.
Peter, I have some business guests today, and I'll be introducing them just so you can refer to the names if you wish to, but these are folks that are my guests on the floor today.
Thank you. A quorum is present. We will post the colors. And the Senator Brian Boquist is going to lead us in the pledge. Invocation today will be by Pastor Marcus Elmer from the West Hills Community Church in Salem.
Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We thank you, Lord, this day, for it is a gift from you. Lord, you are the giver of all good things, including our great country and our beautiful state. Lord, we're blessed beyond measure. You have given us every good gift, every abundant provision, every individual that stands among us. To you we give thanks this day. In addition, O Lord, we realize that you give us not just things that are seen, but also that which is unseen. You give us clear knowledge in your holy word. You give us redemption through the sacrifice of your Son, Jesus Christ, and you give us inward strength and guidance by your Spirit. For these things unseen, we praise and thank you as well. On this day, dear Heavenly Father, we ask that you would be present in this place, in this room, that you would bring wisdom and guidance, vision and leadership, compassion and hope. These are difficult times, dear Lord, but not unlike times gone before. For in different places, during different centuries, with different peoples, there have also been trials and struggles. We do not stand alone. But Lord, you have brought wisdom and insight and blessing to those who ask, in the past and now in the present. Lord, may these men and women in this room, our elected leaders, have strength to carry on the business of our state in a manner that will benefit the people and be honorable to you. For these leaders, I ask acuity and understanding, and keen judgment. And on this day also, Lord, we ask that you would watch over and protect those men and women of our land that have been asked to stand in harm's way for the benefit of our people. Give them safety, we pray, and return them quickly to us. O Lord in heaven, hallowed be thy name. May thy kingdom come and thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Marcus Elmer, for your invocation, for coming to the state capitol today and honoring us with your invocation. Thank you, Senator Brian Boquist, for leading us in the Pledge of Allegiance. Sherry Pelkey and Robert Macon, our honorary pages for Senator Brian Boquist. Isabel Jones, the honorary page for Senator Margaret Carter. Emily Muth, Claire Bernert, the honorary pages for Senator Betsy Johnson. And Kayla DeCar is the honorary page for Senator Larry George. We are always very delighted when the pages come to our Senate chamber and help us with our duties and responsibilities throughout the day. I know you've been here since early this morning, each of you. And we appreciate and thank you for your service to the State Senate and to your state of Oregon. And it's an honor and privilege to have each one of you here today as pages. And I would like to officially extend the courtesies of this Senate to each and every one of you. Thank you very much for coming here today and helping us. Well, now, under the official order of courtesies, recognize Senator Gerard, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. I would like to extend courtesies to Colton Middle School. And the group leader, I think, is Mrs. Letzau. I'm hoping I got the pronunciation right.
Colton?
Colton Middle School.
Colton? Okay. They're in the back? Are they in the back? Yes, they're there.
Yes, they are.
In the middle school. I appreciate very much your being here and coming to the state capitol, and that you'd be willing to come to the Senate chambers and watch some of our activities. Hope you're having a great day in your state capitol. This is your capitol. It's an honor and a privilege that you would come here today and honor us with your privilege. I would like to extend the courtesy of the Senate to each and every one of you. Thank you. Recognize Senator Frank Morris.
Thank you, Mr. President. I am deeply honored today to have some very dear friends join us on the floor today. These friends are business men, mostly from the Portland area, one from the Salem area, one from the Bend area. But, Mr. President, I would like to ask them to stand as I introduce them and would ask that you extend courtesies to them. Peter Bricks from Portland, John Cheney from Portland, Ed Newbegin from Portland, Charlie McCormick from Portland, Bob Smith from Salem, and I've not overlooked one, Mr. President. Oh, excuse me, Rick Steinfeld from Bend. I saw him earlier, but these folks are very dear friends, and they're enjoying the day in the Capitol, and wish that you would extend courtesies to these very fine gentlemen. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, Senator Frank Morris. As I understand, you are retired, semi-retired, are active business people and longtime friends of the good senator. And in particular, John Cheney is a business partner of Senator Frank Morris. So to each and every one of you, thank you for coming to the Capitol today. You honor us by coming onto the Senate floor. It's a privilege, real privilege, to have you here. Thank you for all you do with the business community, as well as, I'm sure, in your individual community, working on community events as well. So appreciate very much your being here, each of you. I'd like to extend the official courtesies of the Senate to each one of you. I also want to thank Senator Walker, Senator George, Senator Starr, Senator Boquist, Senator Telfer. And if I've missed someone, because you were willing to allow these individuals, Senator Frank Morris, to sit beside our respective senators to allow you to be on the floor. So I'd like to thank all my fellow senators for that. I also have you listed, there was one supposed to be here, Senator Winters, but I don't see that name, but for whatever, I want to acknowledge anyway that whoever that was. I'm trying to read, it's Ed Morgan. Is that right? What was it?
Eli Morgan could not be here today, and
all
he
right.
was scheduled to be with Senator Winters. So,
well, we're going to acknowledge him anyway, even though he's not here, so I appreciate that. So, Eli, wherever you are, we recognized you, and we extend the courtesies to you, and we all thank Senator Winters, who was willing to have him sit with her. So you might pass the words that we said hello to Eli, and thank Senator Winters again. So thank you. Recognize Senator Rick Metzger, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. I would like to ask that courtesies be extended to Aaron Brown, who's at my desk. Aaron is a student at Willamette University. He has interned in my office all session long. Today is his last day. And for all my great constituents receive letters from me, they generally were authored originally by Aaron, and he did not get me in trouble too often. But he did a great job working in my office, and his final paper from his service in the legislature was to write an essay on the impact of partisanship on decisions of the legislature. So I'm very anxious to read his essay and see what kind of grade he gets on that. But I would ask that courtesies be extended to Aaron for all his good work in the legislature.
Thank you. Thank you, Aaron, for being an intern with Senator Metzger, for helping him with all his duties and responsibilities. We'll miss you. We hope you feel you've had a good experience. It's been an honor and a privilege to have you here. We're always welcome. College students to be interns. We find it a very good partnership both ways for the senator as well as for the young man or woman. So good luck to you, good luck in your studies, and go Bearcats. Thank you. We will now go to remonstrances. We will now go to the messages of the House.
Mr. President, the speaking floor has passed. House Senate Bills 56, 58, 59, 55, 243, 248, 562, 99.
House Bill 2472, Senate Bill 217, adopted SCR 6, SGR 30, and SGR 39.
Thank you. The now reports from conference committees, reports from standing committees. In accordance with SR 8.551, committee report summary number 90 was distributed to members today. This information will be recorded in the journal and state report and so ordered. Reports from special committees. Propositions of motion. Recognize Senator Devlin, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that consideration of SCR 15 be taken from its place on today's calendar and placed on the Thursday, May 14th calendar.
Senator Devlin has moved the consideration of SCR 15 be taken from its place on today's calendar and placed on Thursday's May 14th calendar. To your motion.
Thank you, Mr. President. Colleagues, May 14th is a better day for consideration of this resolution.
Discussion. The question is on taking SCR 15 from today's calendar and placing it on Thursday's May 14th calendar. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
And those opposed, no. This motion is carried. I will now recognize Senator Devlin, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senate colleagues, Senate Democrats request a 15-minute caucus in their caucus room.
Recognize Senator Ted Ferrioli, please.
Now, Mr. President, likewise, Republicans would highly value a 15-minute caucus in our caucus room.
Thank you. We will go into recess until 10:50 by the digital clocks that are on the sideboards in the chambers. The Senate is now in recess. The Senate will please come back to order. The clerk will please call the roll.
Atkinson, Bates, Bonamici, Boquist, Burdick, Carter, Devlin, Dingfelder, Ferrioli, George, Girard, Haas, Johnson, Cruz, Metzger, Montez Anderson, Monroe, Morissette, Morse, Nelson, Brzezinski, Rosenbaum, Schrader, Starr, Telfer, Verger, Walker, Whitsett, Winters, President Courtney.
The Senate, as a quorum is present, the Senate recessed under the order of propositions and motions and will resume under that order, and it is so ordered. Recognize Senator Brian Boquist, please.
Mr. President, I move to withdraw the minority report on SB 284 and refer the bill to the Rules Committee.
Senator Brian Boquist has moved to withdraw the minority report to Senate Bill 284 and refer the bill to the Rules Committee. To your motion, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. Colleagues, both the minority and majority report have a technical legal issue regarding definitions and a few things surrounding the metal halide emergency vapor light bulb, and it needs to go to Rules to be fixed.
Thank you. Is there further discussion of the motion before us? The question is on withdrawing the minority report on Senate Bill 284 and referring the bill to the Rules Committee. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
And those opposed, no. This motion has carried. Action on executive appointments that require Senate confirmation in the first reading and introduction of Senate measures.
Senate Bill 4 relating to business incentive tax credit. Senate Bill 976 with nationally normed assessments.
These are transmitted to the President's desk for referral. The second reading of Senate measures.
Senate Bill 326 relating to elections. Senate Bill 637 relating to post-management for schools. Senate Bill 728 relating to controlled substances.
These are passed to the calendar. We're now under the third reading of Senate measure, and the clerk will please read the bill.
Senate Bill 241 relating to actions for possession of property.
Recognize Senator Suzanne Bonamici.
Thank you, Mr. President. Colleagues, Senate Bill 241A passed unanimously from the Senate Judiciary Committee. All of the parties interested in Senate Bill 241 agreed that it provides needed clarification regarding how possession is taken after a foreclosure. Under current law, there is confusion about what processes apply when a purchaser needs to get a person out of possession of the purchased home. Section 1 of the bill codifies and clarifies current law with respect to timelines and notice requirements to those in possession of homes in foreclosure. I want to note that the current law is inconsistent in some respects with a recently passed Senate Bill 952, which gives protections for tenants in rental agreements. However, the other aspects of 241 provide useful guidance in implementing foreclosure proceedings as they impact others. Section 2 of Senate Bill 241 provides that the well-known and well-understood eviction proceeding, known as an FED or forcible entry and detainer, is available in trusteed foreclosures and other similar situations conducted under trusteed statutes. So if both bills pass, then Legislative Council will do conforming amendments to ensure that inconsistencies between the two bills are resolved. Passage of both bills with conforming amendments to ensure codification of the new tenant protections would assure procedural protection for all involved in foreclosure. Mr. President, I urge your aye vote on Senate Bill 241A. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you. Discussion? Question on rise upon third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 241. Those opinion bills passed, say aye. Those opposed, no. Clerk, please call the roll.
Nelson. Brzezinski. Rosenbaum. Schrader. Starr. Telfer. Verger. Walker, Whitsett, Winters, Atkinson, Bates, Bonamici, Boquist, Burdick, Carter, Devlin, Dingfelder, Ferrioli, George, Girard, Haas, Johnson, Cruz, Metzger, Montez Anderson, Monroe, Morissette. Morse. President Courtney.
Yes.
Excuse. Starr, Whitsett, 20 ayes.
The Senate Bill 241, having received the constant majority, is declared to pass. Clerk, read the bill.
Senate Bill 603, Rent of Firearms.
Recognize Senator Brian Boquist, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. 603 Alpha comes from your Senate Committee on Judiciary, has no revenue impact, no fiscal, comes out unanimously. And it clarified and phased the definition of readily accessible for the purpose of an unlawful possession of a handgun in a motor-driven vehicle. This is a commonly litigated issue at the lower court levels. There's a single definition used at the Court of Appeals, and we're simply codifying that. Good bill should pass.
Thank you, Senator. Discussion. Question number 30 and final passage of Senate Bill 603. Those opinion bills passed. The others opposed. No clerk, please call the roll.
Brzozinski. Rosenbaum. Schrader. Starr. Telfer. Verger. Walker. Walker. Whitsett. Winters. Atkinson. Bates. Bonamici. Boquist. Burdick. Carter. Devlin. Devlin. Dinkfelder. Ferrioli. George. Gerard. Haas. Johnson. Cruz. Metzger. Montez Anderson. Monroe. Morissette. Morse. Nelson. President Courtney.
Yes.
Excuse, Whitsett, 21 ayes.
The Senate Bill 603, I have received constant majority, is declared passed. Clerk reads bill.
Senate Bill 636, William Marks, Hughes and Commerce.
Recognized Senator Jackie Dingfelder.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senate Bill 636 comes to you unanimously from the Judiciary Committee. This bill updates Oregon's trademark law to better reflect modern commercial practices. Currently, state trademark law is based upon a version of the Model State Trademark Bill enacted in the 1940s. Senate Bill 636 will update the law to reflect the 2007 version of this model law. The bill will modernize the procedures for registering a trademark, appealing the denial of a trademark, and lawsuits for trademark infringement or dilution. By adopting these changes, Oregon law will be more closely aligned to the trademark laws of other states and the federal government. This bill has no revenue or fiscal impact, and I ask for your aye vote.
Thank you, Senator. I recognize Senator Bonamici.
Thank you, Mr. President. Colleagues, I want to rise in support of Senate Bill 636 and urge your support of this bill. It's especially important to our high-tech industry in Oregon. I urge your aye vote. Thank you, Mr. President.
Further discussion? Senator, do you wish to close, Senator Dingfelder? She does not. Question I rise upon Senate Bill 636. Those who are of the opinion that the bill should pass, say aye. Those opposed, no. Clerk, please call the roll.
Rosenbaum. Schrader. Starr. Telfer. Berger, Walker, Whitsett, Winters, Atkinson, Bates, Bonamici, Boquist, Burdick, Carter, Devlin, Dingfelder, Ferrioli, George, Gerard, Haas, Johnson, Cruz, Metzger, Montez Anderson, Monroe, Morissette, Morissette, Morse, Nelson, Brzozinski, President Courtney.
Yes.
Excuse, Whitsett, 29 ayes.
The Senate Bill 636 has received a constant majority, declared passed. Clerk reads bill.
Senate Bill 649, William Farmer School Sales.
Recognize Senator Bill Morissette.
Thank you, Mr. President. Colleagues, this bill requires drug manufacturers and wholesale drug outlets to adopt a marketing code of conduct, provide and conduct training, and perform annual audits and report the information to the State Board of Pharmacy annually. The board will report findings March 31st regularly on every other year. I think it's a good bill. Actually, the pharma supports the bill. They have a code of conduct. The states of California and Nevada have adopted the code. At your desk, you have a copy of their code. This is adaptable to our purposes. It can be monitored over time. It can be changed over time, but it does close the gap in terms of outlandish gifts to doctors and people who prescribe and so on. This is within the pharma scope. There are federal laws that require this. This gives the state an opportunity to oversee. There are organizations that do not belong to pharma that would be impacted by this bill. So I think it's a great bill. No opposition. So I urge an aye vote. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator. Discussion? Question on rights, round third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 649. Those opinion bills pass the House. Opposed, no. Clerk, please call the roll.
Schrader. Starr. Starr. Telfer. Berger. Walker. Whitsett. Winters. Atkinson. Bates. Bonamici. Boquist. Burdick. Carter. Devlin. Dingfelder. Ferrioli. George. Girard. Girard. Haas. Johnson. Cruz. Metzger. Montes Anderson. Monroe. Morissette. Morse. Nelson. Prozonsky. Rosenbaum. President Courtney.
Yes.
Excuse. Whitsett. 29 ayes.
The Senate Bill 649, Amateur Constitutional Majority, declared passed. Clerk will read the bill.
Senate Bill 670, really mandatory reports of abuse.
Recognize Senator Chuckie Winters, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, Senate Bill 640 is a very simple, straightforward bill that adds a clarity to reporting of abuse of children and adults. It adds physician assistants, nurse practitioners, psychologists, audiologists, speech and language therapists, occupational therapists, providers of adult foster care, and employees of providers to the list. It also, Mr. President, it clarifies those who report and also provides some safeguards to the reporting so that they're not held liable. Mr. President, initially there was a $2,881 fiscal. However, since then I have received a different report that there is no fiscal impact on this particular measure. It is a good bill. As you know, my interest in assuring that the most vulnerable in our society are protected, and that individuals who witness those abuse, particularly those who are in the medical fields and our educational fields, it needs to be reported. We have a list of those that are reported for children. This merely adds the adult and senior population to that. So what we require of the children's end, we also require on the adult end. I urge your aye vote.
Senator, I think now I recognize Senator Chuckie Dingfelder.
Thank you, Mr. President. I was assigned as the backup carrier for this bill, but I would like to add that this did pass out of the Judiciary Committee unanimously, and it's a very good bill, and I urge your aye support.
Thank you. Is there further discussion of the measure? Question on right, upon third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 670. Those opinion bills pass, say aye. Those opposed, no. Clerk, please call the roll.
Starr. Telfer. Berger. Walker. Whitsett. Winters. Atkinson, Bates, Bonamici, Boquist, Burdick, Carter, Devlin, Dingfelder, Ferrioli, George, Girard, Haas, Johnson, Cruz, Metzger, Montes Anderson, Monroe, Morissette, Morse, Nelson, Prozonsky, Rosenbaum, Schrader, President Courtney.
Yes.
Excused. Whitsett. 29 ayes.
The Senate Bill 670, having received constitutional majority, is declared passed. The clerk will read the bill.
Senate Bill 796, William Death Care.
Recognize Senator Vicki Walker.
Thank you, Mr. President. Colleagues, one thing you can be certain of, as indicated by the floor session yesterday, is death and taxes. This bill is not about taxes, however. It's about the ever-changing death care industry. Freeze-drying and pulverizing, liquefying, mummifying, cryogenics, cremation, resumation, death midwives, death doulas, cenotaphs, scattering gardens, home burials, eco-funerals, and cornstarch coffins. Colleagues, it is not your father's Oldsmobile funeral any longer. This is a bill about death. This is a bill about how we care for our dead. This is a bill about protecting the memory and dignity of those who have passed, as well as protecting those who grieve as they make the many choices available to them. We cannot avoid death by deferring it to another session, to another day. We cannot ignore the trends and changes in consumer interest already before us, and we cannot wait for the unthinkable. We cannot wait for there to be a precipitating incident for which this legislative body finds itself acting after the fact. Not again. 25 years ago, colleagues, we did exactly that. We waited. We did not talk about death. We did nothing as a state to proactively regulate the new trends in final disposition technologies and services. We did not proactively set standards for practitioners who entered this emerging market. 25 years ago, Lincoln City Police discovered 15 decomposing bodies in the garage of Dale Almsberg. Twice as many were soon discovered in mass graves in Almsberg's nearby cemetery. All of these remains belonged to individuals who were scheduled to be cremated, a process that was just beginning to become popular, a process that was not regulated at that time until the unthinkable happened and the Almsberg reforms were passed in 1985. That was good legislation, colleagues, but death care kept changing. In 1996, the Kern Family Services case, of which I was the court reporter in bankruptcy court, illustrated the need to address consumer protection for the management of funds paid for pre-need contracts. Over 4,000 families in the Medford area were impacted by financial misconduct at that time, and the state responded, ultimately addressing all those impacted, as well as passing additional reforms in 2001 so that it wouldn't happen again. Not again. In the last 25 years, death care services and technologies have continued to evolve. Those of us who are part of the baby boomer generation are also changing the face of death as we increasingly rebel against our parents' funeral. We want to go out with style. We want to go out green. We want to be remembered and celebrated in our own way. Do your own Google search. Look at the trends and options yourself. Look at the media attention on new practices, green death care, alternative burial. Talk to your neighbors and friends. This bill addresses these emerging trends and market demands and allows us to be proactive in protecting consumers. So what does Senate Bill 796 do? This bill allows for the development and use of new final disposition technologies in Oregon, allowing for greater consumer choice. This bill recognizes and requires licensure of an emerging segment of funeral service practitioners who provide consulting to families who want to have home wakes and funerals or who want to handle all their own funeral arrangements. This bill supports this choice, but it enforces standards of practice so that there are sufficient consumer protection controls in place to prevent harm or abuse. Senate Bill 796 sets the stage for in-depth discussion on the greening of death care. It calls for the development of standards and definitions that will help us all clearly understand the environmental impacts of our final choices in life. This bill clarifies ambiguity about the definition of an indigent for the purposes of final arrangements, as well as the process for care and disposition of indigent remains. This bill supports a family's existing right for private burial on lands they own, but adds clarification for the requirements for ownership, as well as standards for record keeping and disclosure. It leaves the decision for specific laws and requirements at the local level where it already exists and is best maintained, but it requires local jurisdictions to report those requirements to the state so that a prospective purchaser of the property knows that Grandma Myrtle is buried out back or that Aunt Garnett is buried out front. Finally, this bill adds language to our existing laws recognizing that we are a mobile society. Recognizing that we no longer find entire families located in the same geographic area, and that we may wish to establish memorials far away from the actual remains of a loved one, hence the definition for cenotaph. In short, this bill is about putting in place the protections needed to foster growth in a service industry while protecting the health and safety of all Oregonians. While you have likely been receiving emails about this bill, I can assure you that we have been meeting regularly with interested stakeholders and will likely make a few minor changes to the bill as it progresses to the other chamber. Senate Bill 796 is about proactively addressing the changes in death care technology and services. It is about addressing the need to ensure choice in dealing with death, and it is about respecting the needs of a changing demographic in Oregon. This is a good bill, colleagues. I urge your aye vote. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator. Now I recognize Senator Girard.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'd like to ask a question of the carrier, if I may.
Will the carrier yield to a question?
She will.
The carrier will.
Thank you. It would be a simple question. Senate Bill 796A would require death care consultants to be licensed by the board. What license fee are they to be charged?
Mr. President and Senator, that license fee has not yet been established. That's to be established by rule.
Thank you. To the bill.
To the bill,
Mr. President. Colleagues, yesterday we dealt with the fees that were going to be charged to individuals that have died. And the board is getting its funding through those fees. And so you have a lot of practitioners, funeral directors, et cetera, that are getting a free ride. And I don't think this is about death and taxes. This is about taxing the dead. And what we have here is a bill that would further enhance that. And I think what we need to do, this whole arena needs to be put on hold, and we need to go back next session, reevaluate it, and have the proper people paying for the oversight. So I will be a no on this vote.
Thank you, Senator. Is there further discussion on the measure before us? Senator Warwick, do you wish to close, please?
Mr. President, only briefly to say that that's the purpose of the Mortuary and Cemetery Board, is to have oversight over the death care industry. One of the options we are talking about with this new emerging industry is to have them have a seat on the board. That's in another bill. That discussion is ongoing. But clearly we need the oversight. I've indicated that in my floor speech today. And colleagues, I don't want to wait for a problem to occur. Without regulation, there is no place for families to go if they experience a problem with these new death doulas and home care death people. There's just no place for them to go. And the Cemetery Mortuary Board receives over 200 complaints a year about funeral assistance. So it is clear that we need to have a place for people to be able to address their grievance with someone who is providing a service. So I think this is a necessary bill. Thank you.
Thank you. The question is about the third reading and final passage. Senate Bill 796. Those opinion bills pass. Say aye. Those opposed, no. Clerk, please call the roll.
Telfer. Berger. Walker. Whitsett. Winters. Atkinson. Bates. Bonamici. Boquist. Burdick. Carter. Carter. Devlin. Dingfelder. Ferrioli. George. Girard. Hass. Johnson. Cruz. Metzger. Montez Anderson. Monroe. Morissette. Morse. Nelson. Brzezinski. Rosenbaum. Schrader. Starr. President Courtney.
Yes.
Not answering. Carter.
Senator Carter? Not here. Not excused.
Excused. Metzger, Whitsett, absent. Carter, voting no. Atkinson, Ferrioli, George, Girard.
Did you say Carter is excused?
Yes.
Okay.
No, I don't know where she is.
I don't know where she
we
is.
Don't know where she is.
John, we have
to ask Senate Bill 796, having received a constant majority, is declared passed. The clerk will please read the next bill.
Senate Bill 821, Women's Health Care Expense Agreements.
I recognize Senator Floyd Brzezinski.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, Senate Bill 821A came out of your Commerce and Workforce Development Committee, came out on the 5-0 vote. Colleagues, what this bill is going to do is permit collective bargaining units to agree with the public body employers to establish retirement a retiree medical trust, and voluntary employee benefit associations, etc. This is a fix and a cleanup and allows for individuals that are employed by these agencies to be planning for the future. It's a good bill should pass. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you. Is there further discussion of this measure? Question number on third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 821. Those of any bills passed say aye. Those opposed, no. Clerk, please call the roll.
Berger. Walker. Whitsett. Winters. Atkinson. Bates. Bonamici. Boquist. Burdick. Burdick. Carter. Carter. Devlin. Dingfelder. Dingfelder. Ferrioli. George. Gerard. Haas. Johnson. Cruz. Metzger. Munnis Anderson. Monroe. Morissette. Morse. Nelson. Przonski. Rosenbaum. Rosenbaum. Schrader. Starr. Telfer. President Courtney.
Yes.
Excused. Metzger, Whitsett, absent. Carter, 27 ayes.
The Senate Bill 821, MC to constitute majority, is declared passed. First reading of the House measures.
House Bill 2472, relating to business center tax credits.
These are transmitted to the President's referral. The second reading of House measures.
House Bill 2169, relating to six-minute reporting. House Bill 2173, relating to six-minute reporting. House Bill 2203, relating to unemployment insurance. House Bill 3020, relating to unlawful trade practices.
And these have passed the counter. Now we're under the third reading of the House measures. The clerk will please read the bill.
House Bill 2307, relating to collection agencies.
Senator Jason, excuse me. Senator Jason Atkinson, for what purpose do you rise?
Return to the order of courtesies.
I think that you're at the wrong microphone. Oh, wait a minute. You are at the right microphone. I'm getting... Gentlemen, don't... No, no, because I get in trouble with the Secretary of the Senate, and she disciplines me. All right. Senator Jason Atkinson, for what purpose do you rise?
Return to the order of courtesies.
Without objection, please feel free to do so.
Mr. President, I would like full courtesies of the Oregon Senate extended to my colleague, Larry George. Thank you.
There you go. I would like to have you see the Secretary of the Senate immediately following the session. In both of you in her office, Senator Atkinson and Senator George, you will report to the Secretary of the Senate's office immediately following this session. Recognize Senator Floyd Przonski, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. Since we're under courtesies, I'm wondering if I could take the time to actually ask the courtesies actually be extended to St. Thomas, the school out of Vinita. It's the Father Christopher Hunter is here with students, a total of seven, from the 11th and 12th grade. As I said, they're in from Vinita and one part of my district, and I hope that you will, in fact, give courtesies to St. Thomas for their participation today here being at the Capitol. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you. St. Thomas, I think you're up there. Is that right? They're not up there. Wherever St. Thomas is, I would like to extend the official courtesies of the Senate to you. Thanks for coming in from Vinita. Great place. I hope you're enjoying the Capitol, and I hope you get the word that the Senate has just extended courtesies to you and to the good Father. So, with that, we will turn to the regular order of Senate business, and that would be the third reading of House measures. The clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 2307, Collection Agencies.
And I recognize Senator Larry George.
Thank you, Mr. President. House Bill 2307 will eliminate a useless and costly regulation imposed on debt buyers, people who purchase from creditors the right to collect debts owing to the creditors. The bankruptcy court several years ago ruled that under a strict interpretation of the current law, debt buyers must register with a DCBS. Registration involves paying a fee and purchasing of a bond. DCBS regulates collection agencies, business and individuals who collect debts on behalf of others. Debt buyers, on the other hand, are collecting for themselves alone once they purchase the debt. They are not collecting for anyone else. DCBS regulation of debt buyers, therefore, benefits no one. House Bill 2307 simply eliminates the court-imposed requirement that debt buyers register with DCBS. I urge an aye vote on House Bill 2307. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you. Recognize Senator Suzanne Bonamici.
Thank you, Mr. President. Colleagues, during the testimony on this bill in the Consumer Protection Committee, an issue was raised. As Senator George was saying, this bill provides that debt buyers do not need to register as collection agencies, and there was testimony submitted from the Oregon State Buyer Debtor Creditor Section stating that debt buyers would be subject to both the Fair Debt Collection Practices Act and the Oregon Fair Debt Collection Practices Act. And I asked the representative there from the State Bar if the Federal Fair Debt Collection Practices Act would apply, because that typically applies only to third-party collectors. And just to clarify, Mr. President, the State Bar got back to me with the answer that I want to put on the record, that even though on the face of the statute, the Federal Fair Debt Collection Practices Act applies only to third-party collectors, it has been interpreted in cases to hold that debt buyers are covered for policy reasons. In the case is Kimber versus Federal Financial Corp. So I wanted to clarify, Mr. President, that even though under this bill, debt buyers do not need to register as collection agencies, they are still subject to both the state and federal Fair Debt Collection Practices Acts. And I support House Bill 2307. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you. Is there further discussion of the measure? The question now rises upon the third and the final passage of House Bill 2307. Those opinion bills passed, say aye. Those opposed, no. Clerk, please call the roll.
Walker. Whitsett. Winters. Atkinson. Bates. Bonamici. Boquist. Burdick. Carter. Devlin, Dingfelder, Ferrioli, George, Gerard, Hass, Johnson, Cruz, Metzger, Munnis Anderson, Monroe, Morissette, Morse, Nelson, Brzezinski, Rosenbaum, Schrader, Starr, Telfer, Berger, President Courtney. Excused. Carter, Whitsett, 20 dies.
The House Bill 2307, Emerson, Custom, Joyce, Clear, Press. Clerk reads bill.
House Bill 2489, with documents.
I recognize Senator Brian Boquist, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. 2489 comes to Committee on Judiciary. No revenue, minimal fiscal. Came out unanimously. Directs the Department of Transportation and Corrections to jointly adopt rules and enter into agreements to assist offenders in obtaining a driver's license or ID card upon release. This is an expansion of a pilot program right now, and the goal is to ensure that releasees have a state ID card when they are released. Thank you, Mr. President. Good bill should pass.
Thank you. Recognize Senator Vicki Walker.
Thank you, Mr. President, to the bill. This bill and the next bill are both very important for reentry of inmates back into the community. We've talked about this. I'm a member of the Governor's Reentry Council, and we're trying to find ways for those reentering their communities to be more successful. And this was a pilot project that worked extremely well. And I think any of these bills that you see that will help these folks be more successful will be one step farther that they can take in reestablishing themselves in the community and being productive citizens. So thank you.
Thank you. Further discussion? Mr. Now rise upon the 30 in the final passage of House Bill 2489. Those opinion bills pass the House. Opposed, no. Clerk, please call the roll.
Whitsett. Winters. Atkinson. Atkinson. Bates, Bonamici, Boquist, Burdick, Carter, Devlin, Dingfelder, Ferrioli, George, Gerard, Hass, Johnson, Cruz, Metzger, Munnis Anderson, Monroe, Morissette, Morse, Nelson, Brzezinski, Rosenbaum, Schrader, Starr, Telfer, Berger, Walker, President Courtney.
Yes.
Excused. Carter, Whitsett, 20 ayes.
The House Bill 2489, having received a constant majority, is declared passed. Clerk reads bill.
House Bill 2490, related to the Department of Corrections.
Recognize Senator Jackie Dingfelder.
Thank you, Mr. President. House Bill 2490, as you have already heard, is a companion bill to the previous bill, and this will require the Department of Corrections to provide documents that will be essential for reintegrating inmates into our community. The bill requires the Department of Corrections to provide verification of the inmates' work history while they were in the department's custody. The department will also provide certification of educational programs that the individual completed while in custody and certification of completed treatment programs. This bill has no revenue impact and a minimal fiscal. It passed the Senate Judiciary Committee unanimously, and the House with all 60 votes. So I ask for your aye vote.
Thank you, Senator. Further discussion? Question on the right, third reading, final passage of House Bill 2490. This opinion bill is passed. Say aye. Those opposed, no. Clerk, please call the roll.
Winters. Atkinson. Bates. Bonamici. Boquist. Burdick. Carter. Devlin. Dingfelder. Ferrioli. George. Girard. Haas. Johnson. Cruz. Metzger. Montes Anderson. Monroe. Morissette. Morse. Nelson. Brzezinski. Rosenbaum. Schrader. Starr. Telfer. Verger. Walker. President Courtney.
Yes.
Excused. Carter. Whitsett. 20 ayes.
House Bill 2490, have received constitutional majority, declared passed. The clerk will please read the next bill.
House Bill 2625, ballast water.
Recognized Senator Brian Boquist.
Thank you, Mr. President. 2625 comes from your Committee on Environment and Natural Resources, no revenue fiscal. Unanimous vote authorizes Department of Environmental Quality to board and inspect vessels regulated under the ballast water statutes and collect samples of the ballast water to verify compliance. 2002, we passed the original bill. This allows us to collect the samples off of ships. Thank you, Mr. President. Good bill.
Thank you. Further discussion? Mr. Rice, by the third reading, final passage of House Bill 2625. Those opinion bills passed. Aye. Those opposed, no. Clerk, please call the roll.
Atkinson. Bates. Bonamici. Boquist. Burdick. Carter. Devlin. Thingfelder. Ferrioli. George. Girard. Haas. Johnson. Cruz. Metzger, Montes Anderson, Monroe, Morissette, Morse, Nelson, Brzezinski, Rosenbaum, Schrader, Starr, Telfer, Berger, Walker, Whitsett, Winters, President Courtney.
Yes.
Excuse, Carter, Whitsett, 20 ayes.
The House Bill 2625, having received constitutional majority, is declared passed. Clerk reads bill.
House Bill 2714, relating to aquatic invasive species.
Recognize Senator Mark Haas.
Mr. President, an unintentional consequence of commercial shipping transportation operations includes the introduction of non-native aquatic invasive species into state waters, and this bill, 2714A, creates the Shipping Transport of Aquatic Invasive Species Task Force. The purpose, to study and then make recommendations for changes to the ballast water program, funding, and for ways to combat introduction. In addition, this bill also authorizes the Environmental Quality Commission to adopt, by rule, standards and procedures to minimize the risk of introducing aquatic invasive species that must be based on the availability of treatment and new technology. Other states are attempting to deal with infestations after the fact. This bill is ahead of the curve by focusing on prevention, education, and training.
Thank you, Senator. Is there further discussion on this bill? Question on the right, by 30, final passage of House Bill 2714. The opinion bill is passed. Say aye. Those opposed, no. Clerk, please call the roll.
Bates. Bonamici. Boquist. Burdick. Carter. Devlin. Dingfelder. Ferrioli. George. Girard. Haas. Johnson. Cruz. Metzger. Montes Anderson. Monroe. Morissette. Morse. Nelson. Brzezinski. Rosenbaum. Schrader, Starr, Telfer, Berger, Walker, Whitsett, Winters. Winters.
Senator Winters.
Atkinson.
Go on. Oh, there she is.
Atkinson. President Courtney.
Yes.
Excused. Carter, Whitsett, 20 ayes.
The House Bill 2714, Member Chief of Constable Majority, declared passed. Clerk reads bill.
House Bill 2804, willing to floor hotel sales.
Recognize Senator Dianne Rosenbaum.
Thank you, Mr. President. Colleagues, I bring you House Bill 2804, which comes from the Committee on Consumer Protection and Public Affairs. This deals with an unfortunate occurrence, which was brought to the committee's attention, whereby florists are advertising in telephone directories and by other means that they are located in a particular local community when, in fact, they are simply purchasing a telephone number there, but their presence is somewhere else in another state altogether. We had testimony from florists that people, the names that these companies were operating under were very similar to their own, creating confusion. And when an order was placed and then flowers were delivered, for instance, to a funeral home, they might be totally inadequate, and people come back to the florist locally and complain. Some of the money being paid for these orders is retained by the company that is placing this false advertising. So this simply requires that the actual location be part of any advertising, and failure to disclose it is made an unlawful trade practice. This passed our committee unanimously, and I urge your aye vote. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, Senator. Is there further discussion on this measure? Motion now rise upon third reading and final passage of the House Bill 2804. Those opinion bills passed out. Those opposed, no. Clerk, please call the roll.
Bonamici, Boquist, Burdick, Carter, Devlin, Dingfelder, Ferrioli, George, Girard, Haas, Johnson, Cruz, Metzger, Bonas Anderson, Monroe, Morissette, Morse, Nelson, Brzezinski, Rosenbaum, Schrader, Starr, Telfer, Verger, Walker, Whitsett, Winters, Atkinson, Bates, President Courtney. Excused. Carter, Whitsett, voting no. Atkinson, Cruz, Starr, 25 ayes.
The House Bill 2804, I receive Council majority, declared passed. Clerk reads bill.
House Bill 2052, ruling establishing specified facilities.
Recognize Senator Frank Morris.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senate Bill 2052A comes from the Senate Committee on Health Care and Veterans Affairs unanimously. Colleagues, this bill deals with one of the more hot topics in our communities, and that's the siting of psychiatric security review board facilities. The psychiatric security review board was created in 1978 with the primary purpose of protecting the public through an ongoing review of the progress of those placed under its jurisdiction and a determination of their appropriate placement. Community opposition to siting halfway houses, work release, juvenile centers, and other residential treatment facilities in residential neighborhoods often is intense. House Bill 2052A makes the process of choosing sites for these facilities more transparent. The measure, which resulted from a stakeholder work group, designates local law enforcement and mental health officials as points of contact between agencies and the community. Additionally, House Bill 2052A ensures that specific information will be provided to each local public facility coordinating council and provides a system by which agencies and officials address the concerns of the council subcommittee. Mr. President, colleagues, this is a bill that I think will go a long way toward making this process a more rational process, and one in which communities are in fact engaged with the Psychiatric Security Review Board in the siting of these facilities. Urge an aye vote. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, Senator. Is there further discussion of this measure? Mr. Starr, upon 30 and final passage of the House Bill 2052, those opinion bills passed. The allies opposed, no. Clerk, please call the roll.
Boquist, Burdick, Carter, Devlin, Dingfelder, Ferrioli, George, Girard, Haas, Johnson, Cruz, Metzger, Bonas Anderson, Monroe, Morissette, Morse, Nelson, Brzezinski, Rosenbaum, Schrader, Starr, Telfer, Verger, Walker, Whitsett, Winters, Atkinson, Bates, Bonamici, President Courtney.
Yes.
Excused. Carter, Whitsett, 20 ayes.
The House Bill 2052, I should custom majority declared passed. Clerk reads bill.
House Bill 2097, will carry last obligations.
Recognize Senator Floyd Prozanski.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, House Bill 2097A comes out of your Commerce and Workforce Development Committee. It comes out with a 5-0 vote. Basically, what this bill is going to allow is for the PUC, upon a request of entering a waiver to a carrier of last resort's obligations to provide telecommunication services to property of four or more residents, where those individuals or the owner of that development have already gone into an exclusive relationship with another telecommunicator provider. there is a means for those who are affected by this at some point in the future to come back and ask to be brought back into the regular service and reestablishing the provider of last resort. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you. Is there further discussion? Question on item 30, final passage, House Bill 2097. Those opinion bills, if I say aye, opposed, no. Clerk, please call the roll.
Burdick. Carter. Devlin. Dingfelder. Ferrioli. George. Girard. Haas. Johnson. Cruz. Metzger. Montes Anderson. Monroe. Morissette. Morse. Nelson. Brzozinski. Rosenbaum. Schrader. Starr. Telfer. Berger. Walker. Whitsett. Winters. Winters. Atkinson. Bates. Bonamici. Boquist. President Courtney.
Yes.
Excused. Carter, Whitsett, 20 ayes.
The House Bill 2097 has received constant majority is declared passed. The clerk reads the bill.
House Bill 2106, winning bonds for schools.
Can I ask Senator Mark Haas, please?
Mr. President, in 2007, the legislature passed a law requiring school districts receiving bond measure money for large construction projects to evaluate the need for traffic and pedestrian improvements. The intent was to create safer routes to school. But what has happened sometimes after these bond elections is the proposed locations are no longer as ideal, and a preferred alternative has been found: cheaper land, more suitable land, safer land, land that's being donated. In these cases, though, the 2007 law requires another bond election. This bill, 2106, is the solution. If a preferred alternative location is identified after the bond is approved, the preferred alternative evaluation would occur prior to the issuance of bonds rather than going back to voters. This will save money and offer school districts the flexibility to allow them to choose the very best site available at that time.
Thank you. For the discussion. Question on item 30 and final passage of House Bill 2106. Those opinion bills pass the aye. Those opposed, no. Clerk, please call the roll.
Carter. Devlin. Dingfelder. Ferrioli. George. George. Girard. Haas. Johnson. Cruz. Metzger. Montes Anderson. Monroe. Morissette. Morse. Nelson. Brzozinski. Rosenbaum. Schrader. Starr. Telfer. Berger. Walker. Whitsett. Winters. Atkinson. Bates. Bonamici. Boquist. Burdick. President Courtney.
Yes.
Excuse. Carter, Whitsett, 20 ayes.
The House Bill 2106 has received a constant majority, is declared passed. Clerk, reads the bill.
House Bill 2127, the notice in contested areas.
Recognize Senator Bonamici.
Thank you, Mr. President. Colleagues, House Bill 2127A comes to you unanimously from the Committee on Judiciary. Currently, DHS and all agencies that are subject to the Administrative Procedures Act are required to give notices in a contested case hearing by serving the other party in person or by registered or certified mail. However, DHS has been currently serving and has been for several years by regular mail. What has happened is that DHS serves millions and millions of notices and orders each year. And if they had to send by certified or registered mail, the cost would be for the 2009-2011 biennium somewhere between $40 and $50 million. So this bill allows DHS in a contested case hearing to give notice by regular mail. It does, however, state that the presumption that a letter properly mailed is presumed to be received does not apply in these particular cases. So DHS will be writing rules so that if someone says that they did not get the notice, they will be able to request a hearing, and DHS does need to give them information about how to request that kind of hearing. They came and testified that this has not been a problem to date, but it was brought to their attention that they have not been complying with the requirement of serving by registered registered or certified mail. So, colleagues, in this financial climate, if this bill does not pass, DHS will be required to spend somewhere between $40 and $50 million per biennium to serve by registered or certified mail. And I urge your aye vote, Mr. President, on House Bill 2127A. Thank you.
Thank you. Recognize Senator Brian Boquist, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. Colleagues, unlike the other bills, I voted against five or six of these already, and so everybody asks you, well, why'd you vote for this one? And I think the good carrier has outlined that. This is an ongoing practice. It does save $40 to $50 million, which is no small amount of money given today. And it does, just to reaffirm what the good carrier said, it does presume at DHS, if somebody says they didn't get the letter, that they automatically get to go into the appeals process. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you. Further discussion? Mr. Vice Bond, 30 to 5, House Bill 2127. Those opinion bills pass, say aye. Those opposed, no. Clerk, please call the roll.
Devlin.
Aye.
Dingfeather. Ferrioli.
Aye.
George.
Aye.
Girard.
Aye.
Haas.
Aye.
Johnson.
Aye.
Cruz. Metzger.
Aye.
Montes Anderson.
Aye.
Monroe.
Aye.
Morissette.
Aye.
Morse.
Aye.
Nelson.
Aye.
Brzozinski.
Aye.
Rosenbaum.
Aye.
Schrader.
Aye.
Starr.
Aye.
Telfer.
Aye.
Verger. Walker.
Aye.
Whitsett. Winters.
Aye.
Atkinson.
Yes.
Bates.
Aye.
Bonamici.
Aye.
Boquist.
Aye.
Burdick. Burdick.
Aye.
Carter. President Courtney.
Yes.
Excuse. Carter, Whitsett. Voting no. Cruz, 27 ayes.
Yes, Bill 2127. Constitutional judge declared passed. Clerk reads bill.
House Bill 2161, relating to special assessment of property tax purposes.
Recognized Senator Chris Telfer.
Mr. President, House Bill 2161 updates archaic language, reorders definitions, and clarifies various sections throughout the central assessment statutes. The statutes, which were adopted in 1909, have not been updated, and there's been no comprehensive review for the last 100 years. Need I say more? This comes out of committee with a due pass recommendation.
Thank you, Senator. Further discussion of the measure. Question on the rise upon 30 and final passage of House Bill 2161. Those opinion bills pass. Say aye. Those opposed, no. Clerk, please call the roll.
Dingfelder. Ferrioli.
Aye.
George.
Aye.
Girard. Haas.
Aye.
Johnson.
Aye.
Cruz. Cruz.
Senator Cruz. Okay.
Metzger. Montes Anderson. Monroe.
Aye.
Morissette.
Aye.
Morse.
Aye.
Nelson.
Aye.
Brzozinski.
Aye.
Rosenbaum.
Aye.
Schrader.
Aye.
Starr. Telfer, Verger, Walker, Whitsett, Winters, Atkinson, Bates, Bonamici, Boquist, Burdick, Carter, Devlin, President Courtney.
Yes.
Excuse, Carter, Whitsett, 20 ayes.
Bill 2161, I receive Constable Jarvis declared passed. Clerk reads bill.
House Bill 2206, within child care.
Okay, Senator Jeff Cruz.
Mr. President, colleagues, currently somebody who provides licensed child care can have their license revoked or they can, or suspended, and they can go right back into business. This bill says they can't.
Thank you. Is there discussion? Question arises by the third reading, final passage, House Bill 2206. Those opinion bills pass, say aye. Those opposed, no. Clerk, please call the roll.
Ferrioli. George. Girard. Haas. Johnson. Cruz. Metzger. Montes Anderson. Monroe. Morissette. Morse. Nelson. Brzozinski. Rosenbaum. Schrader. Starr. Telfer. Verger. Walker. Walker. Whitsett. Winters. Atkinson. Atkinson. Bates. Bonamici. Boquist. Burdick. Carter. Devlin. Dingfelder. President Courtney.
Yes.
Excused. Carter. Whitsett. 20 ayes.
The House Bill 2206, 7 seats, Constable Jarvis declared passed. Clerk reads bill.
House Bill 2315, with the records of possession, permanent focus, seizing, standards, training.
Recognize Senator Vicki Walker.
Thank you, Mr. President, colleagues. The Department of Justice ruled that the Department of Public Safety Standards and Training's denial, revocation, investigatory materials, oh, that's a mouthful, including draft work products, are currently not exempt from disclosure under public records law, making them available to requesters at any time at any stage of an investigation. This hinders DPSST's ability to conduct a thorough, complete investigation into a public safety professional's alleged misconduct without the information being available to the media or general public prior to the conclusion of the investigation and preparation of a final report. So it is not in the agency's best interest or the person being investigated to have that aired in public before the report is prepared. So House Bill 2315 will exempt from disclosure those investigative records until the final disposition of the case and a report is provided. It also exempts from disclosure the records in the possession of the department that the department received from another public body in connection with the investigation that are likewise not subject to disclosure. I am a huge supporter of sunshine laws in this state, and very rarely do I vote to support anything that exempts public records from the public's right to know. But in this case, this really is good public policy, because you cannot be airing a case in front of the media while someone is being investigated by the agency. So this is a good bill, passed the House, and I hope we pass it today. Thank you very much.
Thank you. For the discussion, motion on item 30 and final passage, House Bill 2315. Those opinion bills passed the House. Will the clerk please call the roll?
George. Gerard, Haas, Johnson, Cruz, Metzger, Juan Anderson, Monroe, Morissette, Morse, Nelson, Brzezinski, Rosenbaum, Schrader, Starr, Telfer, Verger, Walker, Walker, Whitsett, Winters, Atkinson, Bates, Bates, Bonamici, Boquist, Burdick, Carter, Devlin, Dingfelder, Ferrioli, President Courtney.
Yes.
Excuse, Carter, Whitsett, 20 ayes.
The House Bill 2315, I have received constable majority, declared passed. Clerk reads the bill.
House Bill 2528, winner special events licensees.
Recognize Senator Bruce Starr.
Thank you, Mr. President. Colleagues, House Bill 2528 comes to you unanimously from your Business and Transportation Committee. This allows the OLCC to issue special events licenses for brewery and public house licensee. Urgent I vote.
Thank you. Is there discussion of this issue, this matter, this bill? Question on rise upon 30 to final passage. House Bill 2528. Those opinion bills pass out. As opposed to no, clerk, please call the roll.
Gerard, Haas, Johnson, Cruz, Metzger, Montez Anderson, Monroe, Morissette, Morse, Nelson, Brzezinski, Rosenbaum, Schrader, Starr, Telfer, Verger, Walker, Whitsett, Winters, Atkinson, Bates, Bonamici, Boquist, Burdick, Carter, Devlin, Dingfelder, Ferrioli, George, President Courtney.
Yes.
Excuse, Carter, Whitsett, 20 ayes.
The House Bill 2528, having received constable majority, declared passed. Clerk reads bill.
House Bill 2610, with the healthcare professionals.
Recognized Senator Alan Bates.
Thank you, Mr. President. 2610A comes to you from the Committee on Health Care and Veterans Affairs with unanimous due pass recommendation. Basically, this bill standardizes the use of the doctor title for health professionals who have advanced degrees. Patients need to know that they can rely on the legitimacy of their provider's credentials, and the title doctor implies that a patient can trust their provider's expertise. Not always my case, but in most cases, Mr. President. The current statute that governs the use of doctor title is confusing and has stopped some professionals with earned doctoral degrees and licenses in their fields from using the word doctor. This problem has mostly affected physical therapists, occupational therapists, and audiologists. House Bill 2610A fixes this problem by setting a uniform standard for health professions that want to use the word doctor. Two criteria must be met. The individual must have a doctoral degree in their field of practice, and the individual must be licensed by their respective regulatory board. This section of law affects the use of the term only in healthcare practice and not in other settings. House Bill 2610A sets a sustainable policy for helping patients trust in the veracity of their health professionals' credentials and expertise. Please join me in voting aye.
Thank you. Recognize Senator Fred Garrard.
Thank you, Mr. President. I need to declare a potential conflict.
Please place your potential conflict.
I'm a licensed dentist in the state of Oregon.
Your potential conflict of interest is noted for the record. Further discussion. Question on rise by third reading, final passage of House Bill 2610. Those opinion bills pass out. As opposed, no clerk, please call the roll.
Hass. Johnson. Cruz. Metzger. Monzenerson. Monroe. Morissette. Morse. Nelson. Brzezinski. Rosenbaum. Schrader. Starr. Telfer. Berger. Walker. Whitsett. Winters. Atkinson. Bates. Bonamici. Boquist. Burdick. Burdick. Carter. Devlin. Dingfelder. Ferrioli. George. Gerard. President Courtney.
Yes.
Excuse. Carter. Walker. Whitsett. 27 ayes.
The House Bill 2610. I received the constitutional majority declared passed. Clerk reads bill.
House Bill 2611, really preceding your production limits for Bureau of Public House licenses, selling at wholesale and declaring emergency.
And recognize Senator Joanne Berger.
Thank you, Mr. President. House Bill 2611 has to do with increasing the production limits for brewery public house licensees who are distributing and selling at wholesale from 1,000 barrels to 5,000 barrels. The brewery public house licenses issued by the Oregon Liquor Control Commission allows a brew pub to manufacture and sell malt beverages to wholesalers and sell malt beverages, wine, and cider for consumption on or off the licensed premises. Current statute restricts production for licensees distributing and selling their products at wholesale to 1,000 barrels per year. This limitation makes it very difficult for the brew pubs to compete with breweries which do not have statutory production restrictions. House Bill 2611 increases the brewery public house licensee's production limit to 5,000 barrels. I encourage and I vote.
Thank you. Discussion. Question on rise by 30 to final passage of House Bill 2611. Those opinion bills pass the House. Opposed, no. Clerk, please call the roll.
Johnson.
Aye.
Cruz. Metzger. Monzenerson, Monroe, Morissette, Morse, Nelson, Brzezinski, Rosenbaum, Schrader, Starr, Telfer, Berger, Walker, Whitsett, Winters, Atkinson, Bates, Bonamici, Boquist, Burdick, Carter, Devlin, Dingfelder, Ferrioli, George, Gerard, Hass, President Courtney.
Yes.
Excuse, Carter, Walker, Whitsett. 27 ayes.
House Bill 2611, having received customs majority declared passed. Clerk reads bill.
House Bill 2654, low option taxes.
Recognize Senator Mark Hass.
Mr. President, House Bill 2654 clarifies that apportionment provisions apply only to countywide local option taxes imposed by a county for roads improvements, repairs, or maintenance. Current statute spells out the use and apportionment of county road funds raised by local option taxes. This bill simply clarifies that a countywide local option tax imposed by a county does not include local option taxes imposed in general. It's a housekeeping measure, very technical in nature. I urge your passage.
Thank you. Discussion. Question on rise by third reading, final passage of House Bill 2654. Those opinion bills pass. The aye. Opposed, no. Clerk, please call the roll.
Cruz.
Aye.
Metzger. Monzenerson. Monroe. Morissette. Morse. Nelson. Brzezinski. Rosenbaum. Schrader. Starr. Telfer. Berger. Walker. Whitsett. Winters. Atkinson. Bates. Bonamici. Boquist. Burdick. Carter, Devlin, Dingfelder, Ferrioli, George, Gerard, Hass, Johnson, President Courtney.
Yes.
Excuse, Carter, Walker, Whitsett, 27 ayes.
House Bill 2654, I received constitutional majority declared passed. Clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 2658, went to oral prosthetic devices.
And the good Senator Fred Garrard will take us home.
Thank you, Mr. President. First of all, I need to declare a potential conflict.
Please note your potential conflict for the record.
I'm a licensed dentist in the state of Oregon.
Your potential conflict is now on the record.
Colleagues, we all want lunch. This is a real quick bill. What happened was that there was a crown failure. The crown was analyzed, and it had lead in it. That crown was made in China. This bill addresses those concerns. It says that that you have to state where the appliances are made. It's had unanimous support in committee, and there's no financials attached to it. So I urge an aye vote, and let's have lunch.
Discussion? The recognized Senator Jason Atkinson.
Mr. President, I declare a potential conflict of interest. My wife is a registered dental hygienist.
Your potential conflict of interest is now on the record. Question now, round 30, in the final passage of House Bill 2658. Those opinion bills pass, say aye. Those opposed, no. Clerk, please call the roll.
Metzger. Von Zenderson. Monroe. Morissette. Morse. Nelson. Brzozinski. Rosenbaum, Schrader, Starr, Telfer, Verger, Walker, Whitsett, Winters, Atkinson, Bates, Bonamici, Boquist, Burdick, Carter, Devlin, Dingfelder, Ferrioli, George, Girard, Haas, Johnson, Cruz, President Courtney.
Yes.
Excused. Carter, Walker, Whitsett, 27 ayes.
Senator Lori Montes Sanderson, for what purpose do you rise?
I'd like to say that I might have a potential conflict.
The Senator Lori Montes Sanderson has asked for unanimous consent to allow her to enter a potential conflict of interest on the measure which is now before us. Is there any objection? Please enter your potential conflict of interest.
My brother's a dentist.
House Bill 2658, having received a constant majority, is declared passed. Other business of the Senate. The Senate is in receipt of a House concurrent resolution from the Legislative Assembly of North Dakota. This resolution affirms North Dakota's sovereignty under the 10th Amendment to the Constitution of the United States and demands the federal government halt its practice of assuming powers on the states for purposes not enumerated in the United States Constitution. This resolution is at the front desk for review and will be entered into the official record, and it is so ordered. And of course, SR 8.403 committee referral list number 111 was distributed to members May 11th. Referrals will be recorded in the Journal of State's report, and it is so ordered. Under announcements, first of all, although some members have left, unfortunately, I have conferred with the Secretary of the Senate, and it looks like the way we're going, we will not need a floor session on Friday. We will not have a floor session on Friday, so I want to acknowledge that now. I want to also say one more thing. Ellie Booth is a member of the Capitol Club. Her daughter, 8-year-old daughter, Mary Kate, I believe sometime last week became gravely ill. So much so, they had to immediately move her to one of the major medical facilities in Seattle. And while little Mary Kate fought violently, she lost her life on Saturday, leaving behind her twin sister, Rose, 8, and her little baby brother, James, and a heartbroken mother and father, Ellie and Jay. I have left a voicemail for Ellie, and others have attempted to talk with her. There's also an email, things of that nature. So I would ask that you remember in your prayers and your thoughts, Ellie and Jay and their dear young children, Rose and Jamie, as they try to deal with this tragic, tragic loss of their daughter and their sister, Mary Kate. Are there any further announcements at this time? I should recognize, I guess, Senator Devlin.
Thank you, Mr. President. Obviously, that announcement puts some of our difficulties in perspective. There will be no caucus for the Senate Democrats today. However, the Senate Democratic leadership will meet at 12:20.
Thank you. Recognize Senator Ferrioli, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, Senate Republicans will meet immediately following the session in the Republican caucus room. So get your lunches and come to the caucus room.
Further announcements? If there are no further announcements and objections, the Senate will be adjourned until 10:15 tomorrow, Wednesday, which is May 13th. The Senate is adjourned.